Broadcasting live from the true seat of American power, Coast City Comics, this is Actually Comics for Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. Good evening, Bob. How are you doing this wonderful evening?
I'm doing great. Fantastic.
It's snowy and it's a delight. It's a winter wonderland outside.
Yeah, it is. It's a light drizzle of snow.
Yes.
It was the ride to get the books and look at the shelves and all that stuff was pleasant.
Yeah, I like it. I'm into it. Whatever. This is a pretty, I don't know, man. I feel like these have been, I don't remember winters being this intense. I thought that both companies were like, hey, we're going to calm down. We're not going to, like, the big two were like, we're going to back off. And Image was like, oh, we're totally backing off. And now it's like, it feels like there's more than there was in any February I can think of previous to this. I mean,
yeah, I wondered aloud in the store if it was future state, because I keep thinking that, like,
it could be.
I mean, something's going on. Like, I keep thinking it's like, oh, I'm gonna have a light week this week, and then it's like, no, there's like 5 million fucking comic books.
There really are,
which isn't bad.
No, it's honestly, it really isn't bad, and it's not. We're not running into the thing that I think everybody expected us to, where, you know, books just don't sell because nobody has money or nobody has, you know, like, people are stuck in their houses and they've got nothing else to do, so they're reading comics. You know, so we are selling books. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's good.
I don't know if that's true across the board for everybody. I just saw another one of those big reports that was like, you know, Barnes and Noble and all these major bookstores are selling 10 times as many graphic novels as they did 2 years ago or whatever. And it's like, yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean that graphic novel sales are 10 times what it is. It just means that comic shops are shutting down and they're being drowned out by Barnes and Nobles. It means that, like, massive mega conglomerates are tromping on us. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
We are selling more, I think, across the board. But I think it does also mean that, like, little shops are getting fucking trashed.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of stores that are closing, and it's weird. Like, you don't even, like, really know about it until, like, you know, after the fact or whatever. But, like, I do think that Portland has, like, kind of a home spirit of just, like, okay, like, let's try to, like, save these businesses
absolutely.
Where we can and do, you know. Also, there's just, like, you know, like, the money that I have to just blow on comics is, like, way more than it typically was, because, like, I'm not driving anywhere.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere. I haven't been to a restaurant in a fucking year.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
You know, like,
agree.
I mean,
it's like, and that's where I'm at too. I mean, and I'm doing the same thing, only in, you know, in store owner terms, where I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I should start ordering from this fucking, maybe I should open up a thing with these guys who sell punk records. You know, maybe I should do this thing and get some other little things in here that I was like, you know, I wouldn't have had the money to do this normally, but my personal expenses are like next to nothing, you know, for anything that I do. So I'm like, I could spare, you know, an extra $300 to throw at, like, a, you know, some metal place that does, like, you know, mostly Norwegian death metal. That'd be fun. Why the hell not?
Nice. That's cool.
The store needs this shit. Why not? It'll be fun.
So you're a Norwegian death metal emporium now?
Totally.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Boy. Yep. So let's talk comic books. Let's talk about what's coming out this week.
Comic books.
This week, I think I was incorrect at some point. Apparently, Nick Spencer is still on Spider-Man, pretty clearly. He is on this issue, so number 59 of Amazing Spider-Man is a Mr. Negative issue, which is always fun. I love that character and anything with him. I also just love how hilarious Mr. Negative is.
Yeah, totally.
It's just fun to say.
Yeah. Like Negative Man. I loved like when they had a Doom Patrol, they had like a new Negative Man. It was like, we're going to call you Negative Man because you're so negative.
Negative like, Man. Why are like you so negative, man?
His powers had nothing
man.
To do with Negative Man. You're so negative, man. That was literally the line from the comic book.
Of course. And American Vampire 1976, number 5, is out this week. The Sick. Aquaman Volume 4, Echoes of a Life Lived Well. That would be the Kelly Sue DeConnick, I believe, series.
Ah, yes.
Which I did not care for, but some people did. Was it's... not my thing.
Yeah, it started out good, and then it just got kind of yeah. not so good.
It just it
felt, I wanted to like it.
It felt so meandery. It was just like, oh, we're kind of over here. Oh, what's it?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that thing over there. It's like it didn't ever feel like there was any cohesive direction that it was going in. And, you know,
yeah.
And, or if there was, I didn't fucking care about it at all, which I think is more likely the point. Was that I just totally. Didn't care about it.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's that works for me as a description too. Like it started out gangbusters, like the first couple issues, I was really into it. And then it just like, I don't know. Like I think with comics, you have like, you have to build momentum. It's like driving
yes.
in the snow.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and if like, as soon as you that momentum is gone, then you're fucked on that hill, you know?
Yep, I agree. Hey, there we go. I don't know the answer to that question. Oops. I looked something up because I was like, I can find out who this person is before it comes up. And I was like, nope, that didn't help. Oh, well. But it is in reference to Black Hammer Visions number 1. An amazing comic with guest writers Patton Oswalt, Jeff Johns, Mariko Tamaki, Chip Zdarsky, and Kelly Thompson. What an insane
yes.
thing. That is a crazy list of guests. So
yes, and they each one of them is doing a single issue. So this first issue is just Patton Oswalt.
Yep. This yeah, and Patton Oswalt issue, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It focuses on the character Golden Gale, but then you've also got that milk and cheese variant, which is like, I just love that that's yeah. a thing that exists.
That was the greatest thing. It was so nice to see that. I really dug that. And also Commanders in Crisis number 5, which is not my thing, but it is still coming out, and and there it is.
I tried with it.
Yeah,
I tried with it.
Vox Machina, Critical Role, Machina Origins, number 3, number 1. Love those. I love it when they do that. Motherfuckers. Yes, this is the third volume. This is the first issue of the third volume of Critical Role, Vox Machina Origins. That is the name of the comic. Yikes.
It's also clear now.
You know, with the millions of dollars they made on Kickstarter for their whatever the hell they did for their YouTube series, they don't need to make sense or have, you know, easy to read titles for anything. They're rolling in cash. We've got Daredevil number 27 out. It is a King in Black tie-in. And they're doing these variants that I kind of dig in a weird way. It's a super cheat because it feels like they're just stealing existing Marvel Masterworks covers and putting them on books, but it's cool. I think they look nice. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I always like the old Masterworks covers.
I was like, I wondered if it was like those Alex Ross kind of like timeless variants that they were doing. If they were just like, yeah, we sold a lot of these. Like, let's, you know, do so. Is like a Masterworks variant or something? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Yep. They just look like the old trade dress for the Masterworks hardcovers. Gotcha. Another really good book that came out this week is DC Love is a Battlefield number 1 one-shot. This is one of those big-ass square-bound 80-pagers with a bunch of different people doing a bunch of different things that obviously tie into Valentine-y, lovey-dovey stories. And there were a couple of these that I thought were downright goddamned brilliant. I thought the, I mean,
yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I am not a, I'm not somebody who would go out of their way to read a Harley Ivy story, but this Harley Ivy story that was in this was very touching and really, really nicely done. That was that, that last yeah. page was like, was a real like heart tugger. I was like, whoa, oh, oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's pretty beautiful. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm warming up to this thing that they're doing. Like I had said before, I stopped carrying these at one point where I was just like, nobody wants to buy these, and they just keep being good. So I'm back on it. I have multiple copies of these, and so yeah, I think they're fun.
Yeah, I also gotta say, if you told me that there was going to be an actual like in continuity comic where Amanda Waller and Perry White went on a date, I would have been like, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't have believed you, but I would have been like, huh, that's strange. And it actually is a really great, like, it's really good. It's great. They go on a date. The Suicide Squad is all kind of like hanging out. It's good. And there's a couple other really good stories too, including a, Rob Guillory drawing Mr. Miracle and Barda yeah. versus the Female Furies on their anniversary. I enjoyed that one a lot too.
Yeah. Yep. Anytime Guillory draws something, I'm probably going to be into it. So we also have Doctor Who Comics number 4 and Eternals number 2. I gotta say, this Eternals book is good. I mean, ooh. If anybody,
I keep thinking it's a reprint, and I don't. I didn't read it.
People are actually buying this. Like, it's selling.
It's a movie.
In a way, it's selling, I would say, remarkably well. Like, it's surprising me how many copies of this are selling. You know, I bought a bunch of the number one because there were so many fucking variants, and I just wanted to make sure that I'd covered all the bases for people who wanted the variants and whatever. And then I was like, God. You know, just the variants alone added up to like 20 issues. And, you know, you've got to, I always feel like I have to match the 20 with another 20 for the main cover and everything. It's like, it's too many for this shitty, nobody cares about the Eternals. Like nobody. And it was like, oh, it sold out. Huh? Guess people care about the Eternals. And it was good. I mean, I actually had a couple of damages, so I took one home and read it, and I was like, huh, this is actually a really fun book. I didn't know who anyone was. I liked the fact that it wasn't... The Eternals always seem very dour. Like, a lot of the treatments of the Eternals over the years have seemed like they're the fuddy-duddies of the Marvel Universe. They're always kind of just, like, depressed and, like... You know, they're locked in an internal struggle that they can't get out of. And that's essentially their whole character trait. And it's like, this gives some life to that, which I thought was fun. So, I don't know. I dug it. Yeah, Eternals.
That's cool.
Not as bad as you thought it was, is what I will say.
The only Eternal I ever really liked was, do you remember the issue of Quasar, like way back in the day? This is like maybe
I can,
before
I can
you
tell
were...
you I do not remember any issue of Quasar.
So, well, if you ever see it, it's definitely worth checking out. There's an issue of Quasar where Makari from the Eternals has a race with like every fast character from the Marvel Universe to see who's the fastest person in the Marvel Universe. And then all of a sudden this guy shows up and starts just kicking everyone's ass. He's like racing faster than everybody. And Makari is like, he's like Quasar's best friend. And like, they're like, it's so Quasar's like hanging out. Quasar can't race because he only flies. He doesn't run or whatever. And it's this whole thing. I think it's the Elders of the Universe. Anyway, the guy that shows up is Barry Allen. And it's after he died in Crisis on Infinite Earths. And like, at the end, it's like for real. It's like in a Marvel comic.
What?
And he's like, yeah, he's got amnesia, and he's like, I can't remember my name. It's like Buried Alien or something like that. And it's like, yeah, obviously it's like a blonde guy in a ripped up red costume that's really fast. And he's like, I remember like basically that's like he died in Crisis. Yeah. And then he goes into the Marvel Universe and beats everybody in a race.
It's a real,
pretty cool issue.
It's a real shame that a fast guy named Buried Alien didn't show up in Marvel right after he died in DC.
Yeah. I mean, it was like within a year or two after.
That's the kind of shit that they used to pull all the time anyway, where they just kind of rip each other off wholesale.
Yeah.
I could totally see that happening.
Yeah. They've never referenced it, to as far as I know. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like some other thing with the character somewhere else that I never read about.
That's great.
Anyway, whatever. That's the only Eternals thing I ever gave a shit about for whatever reason.
That's good stuff.
Anyway.
Excalibur number 18 is a thing that is out. Ooh. I don't remember what is going on here. It's more Otherworld stuff that I don't really know much about, so I'm not really paying attention to it. Fantastic Four King and Black tie-in, pretty cool. So far I have not really been disappointed in a single King and Black tie-in, as of, like, they're all worth it. There's nothing that's, I mean, it's all superfluous. Even the Spider-Woman, which I would consider to be like the most superfluous of all of them, I enjoyed those too. I thought they brought something to the table. I don't know. It's a cool environment to set stories in. This, like, completely, it's like when what was the thing in Batman when Gotham City was just complete cataclysm. It's that kind of thing where it's like it's a specific, very weird, very creepy thing that is, you know, it's never going to happen again. It's just black goo coating the entirety of the world. And, you know, setting all of your stories in that is pretty fun. You know, like, it's just a weird circumstance to have them. Like, the last Thor series, the War of whatever, War of Realms. Where that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
Having the Punisher in the middle of that was like, it made that Punisher story so much better. You could tell that same Punisher story in any circumstance, but because of the setting and because of the extremity of the world, that was a great, it just made it so much better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I had to say, I think I enjoyed the Punisher series better than I enjoyed the actual series in that one.
100%.
That Punisher series was really fun.
That Punisher series was one of the best things that has come out in a long time. Goddamn.
That's good.
War of Realms Punisher tie-in was just solid, solid stuff. So we also have this hardcover graphic novel called Fault Lines in the Constitution coming out.
And yeah,
it
talk about
really,
this.
Really, really good. Obviously, I haven't read the whole thing, but it is, it's basically like a nice simplified way to explain the Constitution and sort of modern interpretations and blah 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 blah. There's a bunch of different, it's got like six or seven different viewpoints of you know, takes on the Constitution, and it looks really good, and I'm probably gonna buy a copy because it's stuff that I'm not as informed about constitutional law as I kind of wish I was as a citizen of the United States. I feel like it might be something that I should probably understand a little better, because people are constantly using it to fuck us all over. So I think, you know, maybe not sounding like an asshole when I discuss this kind of stuff would probably be helpful.
Yeah. It looked like it was like kind of interesting in terms of maybe being like, you know, here's why, like it's talking about like where we are as a nation today.
Yes.
As well as like, not, it's not just like a graphic novel explaining the Constitution. I think there is actually a graphic novel that is just that.
It's basically talking.
I'm not sure. It looked really interesting.
Like, there's a lot of stuff about the Electoral College. There's a lot of stuff about the 25th Amendment. There's a lot of stuff about oh fuck my brain. But it's, either way, it's essentially like all of these contentious fights that revolve around the Constitution and how they are being interpreted by different parties. It's not like going through the Constitution step by step and explaining everything. It is a, it is more a big overview. But in that same, genre, Dark Detective number 3, we learn about how it is to be a dark detective in a future state. Actually, this book was fucking great. This book was
it was really good.
Goddamn good.
I am so excited that this is the creative team for Detective going forward.
Yeah, I know. Holy crap.
This is going to be great.
I know that it's their future Blade Runner coloring, but goddammit, I wish they'd stick with this coloring scheme too. It is
There is a lot pleasing about future state.
It's so pleasing.
Yeah, that, I agree.
That color, that's specifically for Dark Detective. That color scheme. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jordi Belair is doing the colors on Dark Detective, so it's pretty next level. Actually, even the grifter backup in this one was pretty good.
I really liked the grifter backup too.
Yeah, I mean it was basically like a Huntress story, so it kind of
it was a redemptive arc for Grifter, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I did not hate it. It was good. Dark Detective is one of the top future state books, I think.
It was very three-dimensional as for his character, which is not something you see very often. Green Lantern, future state number 2, is out. This is the one that I am not paying attention to at all, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. It's just basically like, actually, the coolest thing about this one was the middle story is the character Teen Lantern.
Yeah.
Which is from that Young Justice series. And it was basically like her trapped on Mogo in the Black Dead universe, that like where there's no stars. So it's like just kind of this like weird survival, kind of actually kind of like a symbiote King in Black kind of thing going on. It was good and I liked it, but then the first and third story were just kind of like Hal Jordan, John Stewart, whatever,
same old same old. Future State Justice League number 2, fun,
rocked,
fun,
good, one of the better, one of the best future states. This one was really good, really good.
Yep,
I liked it.
I'm gonna skip because it was not as good as my favorite one, which I think this issue was as good as the first one, Superwoman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Holy crap.
Yeah.
God damn, this book is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero complaints on that one.
Yeah. No, Superman, Wonder Woman was maybe my favorite of Future State. I really liked it. And it's weird because I didn't like... There's like a two panel, or I guess technically it's like a three panel thing in this that is like this one where it's like this.
Yes.
and then
it's a
like
real spoiler to explain that that concept, but God damn it. That was a funny line.
The centerfold.
It was very smart and damn it. That book is good. I would follow that book
Superman
for 100 issues.
Yeah, I think Dan Waters is really good. The artist, Del Duca, I don't know the first name because I'm just reading off the cover. And then Filardi is the colors. This is just a really good creative team who I would follow pretty much anywhere. Like, I love it. I love it. The centerfold in that issue is just like so freaking good.
Oh, I did not read this one and I probably should have. Kara Zor-El, Superwoman.
Which one?
Did you?
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually liked it a lot better than I thought I would. It's a little melancholy, very arty.
Yeah, I mean, the first one definitely felt that way.
Yeah. It's like very ornate, Marguerite Sauvage, and whatever. Anyway, the last name is Sauvage. But anyway, what's going on in this one is that Supergirl is an adult and she has set up on the moon because she's tired of being on Earth. And then like she's like basically like trying to like save this alien shapeshifter that shows up. And it's like basically her entire lifespan. And the final panel is her fate.
Interesting.
I don't know. It was a little melancholy, but it was a decent read.
Yeah. So here's something that was not melancholy and that was like the best 90s comic that you've ever read. Future State Robin Eternal number 2. I fucking love this. I don't care. It was dumb as a bag of fucking bricks, but it was awesome.
I don't know. I thought it was actually I would rate it higher on the smart scale than that.
Okay. Okay, that's fair, but it is definitely a punchy with very little.
Yes.
There's very little going on outside of that. I'm not saying that it was poorly written or anything. It did what it was meant to do. It just was not. It was not terribly introspective. It was not. It basically was saying, "This is what happens when you punch a robot." Was the thesis was what happens when you punch a robot? My hypothesis is it explodes. The answer is yes, it does.
I mean, I guess I could see that take. It's basically like in the Robin Future State, they have created a Lazarus Pit drug, and Robin.
How very RoboCop-y.
And it is a very RoboCop. Yeah. The Gotham books all have a very like Blade Runner RoboCop kind of.
Robin dies in the first issue. Spoiler, sorry, but Robin dies at the end of halfway through the first issue, and then falls into a container of the drug that is made from the Lazarus Pit, and cracks his bones back into place, and then is given a significant power up from coming back from the dead. This drug is making him crazy and gives him nearly superhuman strength, or actually, yes, superhuman strength, but is going to off him. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, I enjoyed it more than I felt like I should have.
It felt fine.
It felt like a guilty pleasure to me, but it was definitely enjoyable. Teen Titans, Future State number 2. I did not know what the fuck was happening in this issue.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like
it felt like the pages got jumbled together or something.
Well, it does, like, because they're telling the story in like different time periods, so it jumps back and forth. The only thing I will say is on page one, he's called Psy Beast because it's like Beast Boy. But like he has cyborg, so he basically turns into like metal robot animals, which they did not do even close to enough cool shit with in this.
You want to talk about burying your fucking lead? You've got a guy that turns into giant cyborg
there's,
animals.
One panel where he turns it. Yeah, he like turns into a bird on one panel. It's stupid.
That's it.
Total waste of potential. Yeah. But he has a joke where there's the redesign of Nightwing, where he basically has like a cross between like the '90s Nightwing costume and the Deathstroke costume, and the Beast character calls him Dickstroke.
Dickstroke. I would have gone really with Dickstroke. I mean, they had to nip that in the bud no matter what. Somebody had to get it out first because they were going to call him Dickstroke eventually no matter what.
It was, he's literally like, the line is like, I would have called him Dickstroke, and then they cut him off before he gets the joke out. But the Titans thing is like, for me, like it's a book for me. Like it's not a book for everybody. Like I'm a lifelong Teen Titans fan. So like I'm interested in it because like they're kind of getting back to like the actual like kind of camaraderie of like the 80s team.
Yeah.
Or at least hopefully they are. They always like say they're going to, and then it ends up being like something dumb that I don't care about, but we'll see. I have some hope for it, but I don't think it was one of the more successful
books. Cut for fans. I think it's one of those that is really for the like the hardcore Teen Titans fans.
The only thing I didn't really like was that when they revealed who Red X was, and I'm like, I've read the comic and I still don't know who the character is.
It's Clown Hunter.
Even though they show his face. I was like,
it's Clown Hunter.
Wait, it is?
I think so.
Is it?
I think everyone is insinuating the entire internet believes it's Clown Hunter. There are a couple of things because he has the X on his face. I mean, it's a good red herring if it's not, because the X that's on his mask matches the X scar in what is his name? Clown Hunter's hair. He literally has like an X in his hairline that matches exactly cool. the mask. So it's like either they're doing that to throw you, or it's just that's why. But it definitely looks like it's Clown Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, it was a little bit of a skim, so like maybe there's like specific where they like actually say that. That does make sense. That's the best theory I've heard.
And it makes
as much sense as anything. But yeah. I don't know. Either way, Titans, we just spent way too long talking about it.
Way too long for something that nobody buys. G.I. Joe number 278 is out. G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, the yearbook number 1 is out. Goosebumps, Secret of the Swamp, number 5 of 5 is finally out. That for a kid's book that took like 2 years to come out. Green Lantern, Circle of Fire, the new printing. This is the that big Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, it was a fifth week event. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when this came out.
Yeah.
It was like one of those things where it was like, right? Is that what that
was?
Oh,
yeah. It was like it was Green Lantern, Green Lantern Atom. So it was like they did like slash books. So it was like Green Lantern Firestorm, Green Lantern Adam Strange, Green Lantern Atom, Green Lantern Green Lantern, and Green Lantern Power Girl. And then there were the two. There were the Circle of Fire one shots and the Green Lantern books.
It was just like one of those things they used to do when there was like a fifth week and they didn't want to do annuals, so they just like put out like 7 books that told one story.
It was cool. I remember really liking this when it came out. Like I read it. I mean, I guess I didn't read it when it came out, but I read it later because it wound up in all the quarter bins. So so I definitely collected it at one point and read the whole story and thought it was awesome. So whatever.
Yeah. I remember when it came out. I was into Kyle Rayner back then.
Yeah. I've always liked Kyle Rayner. He's always been one of my favorites. And I liked that whole run of, I liked him as Ion. Whatever. I thought the whole thing was fun.
Yeah.
Except
he has fans, and
he definitely has the worst origin of any character in the history of comics. I think his origin pages may be some of the funniest shit I've ever read in my life. I went back to like, I love this character. I should go back and read this. And there's like a one page where he like walks out of a club or something, and it's like, hey, you're a Green Lantern now.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I am? Okay, cool. That was it. It was like,
yeah, pretty
fuck?
Much.
It was so,
yeah, like that was the whole deal.
So
was that like
quick.
It was like where every Green Lantern had been like worthy or whatever. Kyle Rayner was just like at a Nine Inch Nails concert, and like it just like the ring landed in front of him.
Yeah, it was very. It was weird, but I liked it. So Green Lantern season 2, number 11 of 12. We are finally at the point where it has been completely revealed that we are being fucked with, and this is not a real comic book. He is just filling time, and these stories mean nothing, and it is nonsense. Wow. Wow, this book is fucking barf. I could not pull this fucking thing apart to save my life. I mean, it could be a Grant Morrison thing that'll make sense. Maybe.
So, I don't know. Like, there's a panel in here that indicates that Morrison is aware of what is going on with the Green Lantern comic book franchise. A single panel that features... it features three different Green Lanterns. One is Joe Mullen from Far Sector. One is the Teen Lantern from Young Justice. And one is that, I think it's the kid from that graphic novel where it's like an Asian kid that gets it. Either way, I'm deliberately not reading these until they're all like, I read the last two issues where it was like an alternate Earth thing. This is like, it is to some extent, it's just like, it's its own thing. Like, but I don't know how well it's selling, you know, like
people are still continuing to believe that Grant Morrison is knows what he's doing. And
yeah,
so
I think
it's
he does
possible,
know what he's doing.
It's possible. I mean, every time I've thought that he hasn't, I have been proved wrong. This last time, I don't know, man. I do not know. This one is really throwing me for a loop. Although I do love Manowar Green Lantern from this issue. He's like straight up looks like the lead singer of Manowar. Well, the bass player of Manowar, the really buff one. Like he's got a really greasy mullet and he looks straight up like a member of Manowar. Sure, why not?
I mean, it is.
Yeah, it's like
I wish death metal looked this good.
It's like a savage sort of Conan kind of riff in the Green Lantern universe. Yeah. Yeah, man.
The art is so good in this series that it's like beyond. Like, there's like a centerfold in this one that's like he's on a boat that's sailing on a sea of flame that literally has the dialogue "Sailors on a sea of flame," and there's like dragons and shit, and it is like
it's Manowar.
The artwork is just absolutely a Judas Priest album cover come to life. Like it's
every single bit of it looks like it's. Yeah, it looks like Lord Weird Slowfeg is going to be playing somewhere. So, yeah. Good stuff.
There's a weird thing at the end, though, with a classic GL villain as well.
I don't think I made it that far. I think it lost me way before.
It's really, literally the last page. You get a classic. Anyway.
There is a trade paperback of the fourth volume of Hawkman from this new Hawkman series that from everyone I've talked to got really good about halfway through somehow, which I guess is why it kept being published. Homesick Pilots number 3 is out. Continues to be a really cool series.
Yeah. There's a ghost made of cassette tape, like not the actual like tape container, but like the tape inside.
The tape itself.
Cool.
Yes. Magnetic tape.
Yeah.
I Walk with Monsters number 3 is out. We have a reprint of issue number 1 that is a mock-up of the first Kitty Pride appearance. Is that what that looks like? I think that's it.
I'd have to look at it again, but it's definitely a classic comic book cover.
Yeah, I think it's the first Kitty Pride. We have King in Black, Black Panther number 1 out this week. We've got King in Black Thunderbolts number 2 out this week. And King Tank Girl number 3, continuing to be a spectacular resurgence for Tank Girl. Just the stuff you want. This is like,
love it,
man. This is good Tank Girl stuff. Fucking A. It's what I've been waiting for.
It's good.
Yeah, it really, it's so good. It is better. It's better than when the original team got back together for their like long-awaited return, which I loved, but I think this is considerably better than that. That's what I will say. Love and Rockets.
I am enjoying it immensely.
Love and Rockets number 7 is out, and Low number 26. Apparently, Low is still coming out. Who knew? Not I. Morbius, Bond of Blood, one shot is out this week.
But it said Bone of Blood.
Bone of Blood. I will tell you.
Like, what's a bone of blood?
Blood bone. Isn't that video game from The Simpsons that Bart stole?
Bone Storm.
Bone Storm. Buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. So this is. I feel like this is a little bit of a retcon for Morbius, but I'm not 100% sure because I don't know Morbius that well. But this is like, this is essentially, hey guys, there's a movie coming out. We want to do something that reestablishes who Morbius is, what his deal is. And it's like, he's Dracula. In this comic, they were just, I mean, he's science Dracula. Which I don't think he ever was just science Dracula. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's
always more angsty than that.
He's got the reincarnation of a long lost love in this, which I don't remember being a part of his story.
No.
I don't remember him having hollow bones, but maybe that's been a thing. He floats because he's got fucking hollow bones. That blew my mind. I was like, does that? I mean, just because you have hollow bones doesn't mean you can fly. But
I mean, hollow bones is like a thing that things that fly have in order to fly.
Of course.
Like a bird has hollow bones so that it may weigh less and fly better.
And that's the statement is that he has hollow bones, so he is light enough that the little capelets under his arm allow him to fly, is what they say in this. I did not remember that, but again, I don't know that I've read enough Morbius to really know whether or not that's part of his deal.
It's not.
Okay, good. And so there's that. He's definitely biting people on the neck. And I mean, I remember him having little suckers on his hand. Maybe that was a thing from the cartoon, now that I think about it. Now, that's where I'm remembering it from. That was the Spider-Man cartoon where they did that, because they couldn't do biting on the neck. So they had to do little creepy leech sucker fingers. Which is actually much cooler. There was a lot of weird stuff in this. Pretty by the numbers story either way, but they definitely seem to have Dracula'd him up quite considerably. You know, and if you want to know whether or not I'm completely wrong about this, here's a way to find it out. How about the epic collection of Morbius comics? Including Amazing Spider-Man 101, 102, Marvel Team Up 3 and 4, Fear 20 through 26, Giant Size Superheroes number 1, Vampire Tales 1 through 8, and Giant Size Werewolf number 4. That's so many things.
Man. That's all the really Morbius awesome. You need.
It really is. Those Vampire Tales comics are awesome. I really, really dug those. So I might actually grab that now that I look at it.
Get it quick.
Yeah, because I read the first Vampire Tales and I thought it was amazing, and I would like to read the rest of those. So that's a good way, because the rest of them are fucking expensive. Neil Gaiman, Norse Mythology, number 5.
I feel like I really should be paying more attention to this.
I mean, it's just Norse mythology. I mean, it's... He barely puts his spin on it.
I like Norse mythology.
I do too. It's interesting. I really liked the book that it's based on. And so, you know, I'd probably like the comic as well. But it is really literally just Norse mythology.
It's Craig Russell, Pete Craig Russell doing the art,
that's
right?
That's true, yes. Yeah. So that is a whole other thing. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Orcs, number 1.
I decided to take the plunge on you Orcs did. Number 1.
How do you feel about Orcs I number did. 1?
I feel like Orcs number 1 is fun. It's a fun comic book about orcs. I like the art.
That cover. Holy crap. There's a
Wait,
kind
is
of
it this cover or the other cover?
See, I like that's the Sweeney Boo cover, and I think that one's great. But I like the other cover. There's a crazy Where the Wild Things Are bunch of orcs and monsters chasing after a squirrel. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. I had a hard time choosing, I will be honest.
I'm a big fan of Sweeney Boo, though. Just saying the name is fun. It's hard to not like saying Sweeney Boo.
I don't know what it was about orcs, but I decided to go.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It reminded me so much of Schmalky's book, is what's funny about it. It reminded me of that really filthy Schmalky book that came out. What was it called? Yeah.
I know which one you mean.
Murder Hobo book that came out. Oh, speaking of which.
Yes.
I mean... Did you hear the news about Joe's new thing?
I sure did.
Holy shit. Sure did. Starburns Industries.
That is amazing.
This is so exciting. Yeah. So the guy that did Moral Oral and like all these amazing things picked up Electric Black.
Dino Stamatopoulos.
Thank you for being able to say his name. I have tried so hard. I'm
a huge Mr. Show fan, so...
I think being Starburns is really all he needs to be, you know? As a huge Community fan, I think he will be Starburns for all eternity. But he's
Starburns
incredible.
Too many.
And, man, wow, that is nuts. So congratulations to Joe and
That's crazy.
I'm blown away. He's got, I've seen, he's got all these figures coming out. He's got little D&D figures from Brothers Bobo coming out that are really awesome. Yeah, he's doing some amazing stuff. My God, I would never, I mean, not to say that I didn't believe in Joe. I have faith in him, but man, he has done wonders. Like, talk about somebody who just like
just in the last couple years, just too.
Beat the living shit out of every opportunity that he's gotten. That is the fucking way to do it, man. Really impressed. And his, like, people are really stoked about his variant covers. He's got a bunch of shirts. Like, he's working his ass off. He's doing the he's getting all Ben Bishop on this shit, which is pretty crazy. So so impressed.
Yeah, I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see the show. That's going to be incredible. Pokemon Adventures, the trade paperback, Power Pack, number 3 of 5 is out. And the book that I should have read and forgot to fucking grab off the shelf, because I'm an idiot, Radiant Black. God.
Ah, I flipped through it, but I didn't. I was hoping you'd talk about it.
I wish I could have talked about it, but I didn't. Sorry.
You've really let us all down.
Yeah, I really have. That. Damn it. Yeah, it's a...
It looked like an interesting book.
It's an Image superhero book. It's kind of a stolen super suit story. Some guy gets a super suit that is stolen from aliens and they want it back, essentially. I have not read it.
So kind of like a Dark Hawk, kind of.
Kind of that kind of thing. We got Retro Fan magazine, number 13, out this week with an interview with Mark Goddard and Marta Kristen from Lost in Space, which is kind of cool. Like that. And the first and the only article you're going to see with a wholesome just whatever take on Bob Crane that you're going to see in anything.
Yeah, how do you even pull that off?
It's an article called The Multi-Talented Bob Crane. And I mean,
he was a great photographer.
He was good at taking photos. He was
movies.
Really, just across the board stuff with his dick. Anyway,
he was a real star.
Yes,
when it came to that stuff.
Rorschach, number 5 of 12, is out. Scarenthood, number 4, is out. We have Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine diecasts that are awesome, actually. They are really good.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
Like, they're $10, and they're, like, they're those, like, a 1/32, so they're, like, three times the size of a like, Hot Wheels.
It's the right size. At least double the size of a Hot Wheel.
It's the right size. It's pretty great. And Star Trek Voyager, Seven's Reckoning. Star Wars Darth Vader, number 10, is out. And Star Wars High Republic, number 1. Third printing. Thank God we've finally got one that isn't selling for money so people can fucking get their hands on it. I actually, since we didn't instantly sell out of them, I actually grabbed this and read it, and I liked it quite a bit. It is fun. It has more than
I like
just,
that it has a Bosk.
I love that it has a one-armed Bosk as the main one of the main characters. There was a lot about this that was not what you'd expect. Like, there was more to it than just kind of a by the numbers Star Wars story. So I thought that was cool. I'm pretty down. I think I'm going to follow this one. It's fun. So
it's got the Tristan seal of approval,
which, you know, for a Star Wars book, I find it difficult. Even I'm reading the Thrawn trilogy right now, and I'm still just like, I don't find myself reading a ton of Star Wars comics, but man, the Thrawn trilogy. He's not my favorite writer as far as his actual prose, but his concepts are fucking brilliant. So, really like it.
Cool.
Sweet Tooth, The Return, number 4 of 6. Sword, number 3. people are now excited about S.W.O.R.D. thanks to WandaVision. So
yes,
that is starting to land a little better than it was before. Taskmaster, number 3 of 5, is out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 114, is out. There is a gigantic hardcover collection, the ongoing hardcover number 12 for Turtles. Transformers Escape. True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys is out this week.
Man, I think this is a very, like, I don't, there's no zero hype for True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys. I think it is a fantastic book. Really good. Like, thematically, it's really good. And the art is, like, some of the best comic art I've seen in forever. It's so good. Leonardo Romero is the artist. Fantastic. Yes.
Who's doing the Umbrella Academy books? What's I.N.J. Culber?
The Umbrella Academy. I.N.J. Culber did the last one, which was like a solo spotlight on Klaus.
I was just,
which was okay. I didn't like it as much as like this Killjoys book. Like, it's funny because like I read the last Killjoys book and I hated it. Like, I don't even think I finished the series. Like, I really hated it. And it's like, it was drawn by Becky Cloonan. I was like, there's no reason that I should not love this. Like, this book is like, would be a fucking badass, like, animated movie.
Cool.
Like, I think, I don't know how you would do some of this shit live action. I guess you could. But, like, there's a fucking, like, scene, like, where it's like,
oh my God.
Like, I'm showing it to Tristan in the Zoom right now. It's like fucking mental. Like, you, I couldn't describe it.
That looks like auteur. That's like, that's like auteur levels of like physical explosion, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, it's like a deconstructed Kennedy assassination, sort of. Like, I don't really know how you would describe it, but just like imagine like a human being being vivisected remotely while in a floating convertible that's passing under a bridge, and then imagine that the whole thing is a double page spread that is like done in a beautiful architectural style with like a billion like Frank Quietly panels showing all this like weird detail of like all the shit that's going down. I think that ultimately what since the end of Doom Patrol, Gerard Way has been like basically being like, he's like a concept guy, and he's got great like visual ideas and great concept ideas. And so I think what he's, this one is Gerard Way and Sean Simon. I don't know who Sean Simon is outside of this, but he's the co-writer. So basically Gerard Way is like, here is what I want to have done with this. And then this guy is just writing this kick-ass comic around it. And basically like the, if there is a, there is a story to Killjoys, and it's basically just like this kind of Mad Maxian like traveling bands of car racing, like retro punk kind of, it's very visual and very arty, you know? So they all fight, and then, one of them dies, and then it goes into the future where they're all just like everyday like schlubs, and there's this drug that the like the man is like using to keep everybody down, and then it's like basically like waking up from the Matrix and being like, okay, like it is definitely like kind of Matrixy. I think that sometimes you just have to talk these things out to like kind of figure out. But man, Leonardo Romero and Jordi Belair doing the colors. The colors are fantastic on this book. Like, I wouldn't, the national anthem is so good.
Cool.
So good.
All right. Undiscovered Country 12 is out. No worries. Vampirella number 17 is out. We have, oh, and the Gundez cover for this, which is a weird 70s, like, amazing, looks like an Italian movie from the 70s. Holy shit, that cover is good. It's like one of the best covers I've seen in a long time. We've got Witchfinder trade paperback number 6.
Witchfinder? Finder.
Yes, that finder. That was the Edward Gray Witchfinder, not the other one. And Wolverine Black White Blood is out, number 3. Really like that book.
It was actually, I had to talk myself out of buying this comic book. Like,
yeah, real good.
First two stories in it, some of the best Wolverine stories maybe I've ever seen.
Yep. It's
wicked cool.
The whole thing, just read it. It's like, if you want good Wolverine stories, this is where to get them. And there's no commitment because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't lead to anything. It's not tied to anything. It's just there. It's just a Wolverine story, and they're fucking awesome.
Yeah, there's a Donnie Cates is one of the writers in this one.
Yep. There is an epic collection out for X-Factor that is the entire Apocalypse arc, which is cool. I'm glad they finally put that out in something, especially now that you can't get Apocalypse's first appearance in a quarter bin anymore. You know, up until 4 years ago, that book was like a dollar tops, you know, like there were no X-Factor books that you couldn't get for, you know, 25 cents. But now not so much. So it's cool that this is available, and that's a fun storyline. I liked it a lot, so it's cool to see the early Apocalypse stories.
Yeah. I was like reading these when they came out, like avidly. Like this was my it's dumb, but like my favorite X-Men character is Iceman. So if like Iceman was in a comic book, like I was reading it at that time. And anyway, I was reading X-Factor for sure.
It's good stuff. And
good stuff.
Lastly, we have X-Force number 17 out this week, which is this is where Quentin gets his new costume.
His new costume, which I hate.
It's sad because literally he had four other costumes. They do a trying on clothes montage, and he gets three costumes that would have been amazing. Any of these I would have taken. He does like a Mad Max post-apocalyptic spiky suit that is awesome. He does a pink and like he does his colors in a Cable costume, which is really awesome.
Like, yeah,
all of those were really good.
He does look like a Wolverine, like a Wolverine costume with like the head fins.
Yep, so good. All of them really good. And then he settles on this like, I don't know, body glove.
Bland.
Like he looks like he's about to go surfing. Whatever.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that his typical look is just ultimately always going to be like the T-shirt and the like.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know.
I think him in a superhero costume really defeats the purpose of the character, personally. But
I agree.
Yeah, but it was a good issue. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Some terrible, terrible deaths for poor Quentin in that one. He dies 100 times, I think, is what he says, and we get to see about, I don't know, 5 or 6 of them, and some of them are. One of them is a an acid bath bomb, where he just happens to drop a bath bomb into his into his bath, and it is some sort of pure acid, and he just melts. And it's
gross.
pretty graphic. It's pretty gory, which is kind of the purpose of the X-Force book, is to be the violent, gory book. So if you like that stuff, this is where you're going to get it, and I really dug it. Whatever. Anyway, that's what we got. That's them's the books.
Them's the books. Any toys or
other? I think we got those all out.
We talked.
Yeah.
Got them all out.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right.
I'm still working my way through another big collection that we got in, trying to get that stuff up on the web. Some of it's up there right now, and some of it ain't.
The World Wide Web?
The World Wide Web. So keep checking on the web for stuff. I'm going to be putting up, just because we're going to keep doing more weird stuff all the time, I got a collection in of literally every single Stephen King DVD that was ever released to the tune of like 70-something DVDs. So many things that I didn't know.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There were so many dollar babies that I was like, oh, that got made. Oh, that. I'd never seen this before. So there's some really interesting stuff that I was unaware had ever been made. So pretty cool. That's going to go up on the web. We're going to have more of that kind of stuff, more physical media. That's kind of our little outdated physical media section, because that's what we do. I've often thought of this store as a failed business Voltron. And that's kind of, you take any one of the businesses that could comprise this business is too shaky to stay alive. Skate shops, fucking hard, you know, comic shops, fucking hard, physical media, fucking hard, but you put them all together, it's just a leg, and it's an arm, and then I form the head, and then, you know, form the blazing sword, and you can cut through anything, and I think that's kind of what we do. So
hey, that's like a really good analogy. I like that.
That's the way we've been doing it so far, and it's all I know how to do, so I'm excited. Like I say, the web is getting, you know, more interesting and weirder all the time. So keep checking it out. I'll try to be better at social media, since it's kind of the only way outside of podcasts, which are a little bit of a time commitment, obviously. So I should probably get better at that. Anyway, you can follow us on those social medias at Coast City Comics, at Actually Comics, at the Funbox Monster Podcast, at the Rad Wraith, and oh god, there's a bunch more, whatever, fuck it. Also at Funbox Monster Emporium, I think. Emporium, is it? I
don't know. Coast City Comics Club.
Coast City Comics Club, that's another one. Jesus, there's a lot of those. Yeah, anyway, you should follow all of those, or you should just not follow any social media at all, and listen to podcasts, because you know, one of the two mediums is really, really, really toxic and awful. And it's not podcasts. As long as you choose
wisely. Instagram's
not okay. So bad. Instagram's not so bad. I don't feel
it
like
it can be curated.
Yeah. You can pretty quickly get rid of people who are ruining your day on Instagram. So that's good. So follow us on Instagram. And ignore Facebook, because it's just awful. Anyway.
Yeah, Facebook is the worst.
Anyway, if you have any takeaways from this, the internet is terrible. Joe Schmalky's doing a good job, and that's about it.
Also, so, the Senate has voted as a constitutional. We are yes. Constitutional according to the U.S. Senate. That was going to be my opening joke, but I totally forgot to make it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a good night, and we will talk to you next week. Goodbye, Bob.
Don't need no tea, don't need no chicory, don't need the buzz coming down on me. If I had one wish, I'd wish it's all away.